Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, this is Lachlan Monroe from Riverdale, and you're listening to Geek Town Radio.
Hello and welcome to this week's Geek Town Radio. I'm back this week with Bex. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good, thanks, Anne.
good. That little drop that we had at the start was, of course, Lachlan Monroe, who plays Betty's dad in Riverdale, who I met over the weekend. And he offered to do a little drop for the opening of the podcast, which I thought was lovely. So there you go. So I don't usually ask you what you've been up to, but I kind of know quite a lot of what you've been up to because we were down at Comic-Con last weekend.
We were. Comic-Con is all kinds of amazing, epic. I really, really enjoyed this one. The sunshine was phenomenal. I ended up it was the mix of stuff this time because I had more time to actually enjoy myself because my lovely cameraman worked with me all day Friday, but then got offered a very lucrative job with Capcom to go to France instead. So I do not begrudge him remotely to go off and do some awesome computer game filming. I think it was an esports contest or something. I don't know. But so awesome. That made me in forced enjoyment. I was like, well, what am I supposed to do then? So I did some Instagram live streaming. I ended up in a mosh pit at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the Saturday in the sunshine, dancing to heavy metal with cosplayers. That was good fun. Mixed in with all the normal stuff. The panels were amazing. The fact I got to go and I didn't even know that John DiMaggio was going to be doing one.
Yeah.
And then you said it, and I was like, well, I'm staying for that. Because he's so funny.
Oh, he was hilarious.
For those that don't know, he's the voice of Bender in Futurama. He's also Jake from Adventure Time. And he told us a little bit about Matt Groening's upcoming one as well, Disenchanted, a sort of sword and sorcery one. And
Yes, described it so as Futurama meets Games of Thrones is what it
is. Yeah, which is a good description. I'm sold.
Yeah,
that was
absolutely.
Before I even Googled it and had a look at some of the artwork that they've put up.
Yes.
That looks good. So many awesome things, and meeting Kevin Conroy as well as one of my absolute heroes, the voice of Batman for 20 odd years.
Yes,
27 years.
Yeah, something like that.
I've just been editing the because I filmed more than one of his panels. So I've just been trying to put together an edit of that, but it's also good. It's hard to find things to cut out, and I love how evil his laugh is as well. He has a brilliant, sinister laugh.
Yes, yeah.
I enjoyed that. If that's, if Batman turned evil, that is the laugh.
Yes, definitely.
You'd have to give him alternate world storylines. That was brilliant. And I'm sure we'll talk about more about Comic-Con as this episode goes on. But it was lovely to see people. I put a thing out on my YouTube and my Instagram saying to come and say hello to me. And quite a few people did.
Aww.
I was quite amazed. Yes. I thought I was just shouting into the void. But people actually came up and took some selfies with me and stuff. And I was like, oh, thank you. Which was really, really sweet. And that was good fun. What else did I do? I bought a couple of new indie comics. The second volume of Nyx, the one about an evil magical being that gets turned into a cute purple cat and is trying to get rid of his owner and get to turn back into a bad fairy. Obviously, quite tongue-in-cheek, that one.
Yeah.
Picked up that. Loads of things. There was just such a lovely crowds there this time, and I think the weather was helping with that as well, but it felt really friendly. I saw some incredible cosplays. There was a I don't know who it was, but somebody in a wheelchair had turned their wheelchair into the house from The Wizard of Oz, and then their legs were outstretched.
I think I saw that one. Yeah,
the witch's legs, because they had the type of wheelchair where your legs are out straight in front. So they were the witch's legs. There was another lady who I know from Instagram who I didn't get a selfie with. I'm gutted. She even messaged me after and apologized that I hadn't found her for a selfie in a queues of 140,000 people. But she dressed as Tank Girl and she turned her wheelchair into a tank. That's awesome. And I missed her. But I do, I love it so much. There's just so many amazing people and amazing things. And it's just 3 days of multicolored joy. Definitely cannot wait for the next one already. I wish they were longer, but I don't know if I'd survive if they were.
Yes, that is true. It was great fun. I go and have a wander around the Indie Comic Village when I'm there, but I just didn't have the time this weekend. Yeah.
I did 8 or 9 interviews, so you can... Yeah, yes, you can watch those when they go up.
we'll put those up on the site. We'll do a separate post for those because I haven't done the roundup yet because I took so many cosplay photos. Usually I will put a roundup sort of pretty straight after the show, and I just haven't had time because there've been so many cosplay photos and so many videos because we did about 15 interviews when we were there because the interviews were just relentless. This time around, some great people, lots and lots, as you say, the voiceover people. There was the lady from April, the lady from South Park as well, who does a lot of the female South Park voices, who was lovely.
Oh, really? I missed her.
She was great. Kevin was there. David Hayter, who's the voice of Solid Snake, and weirdly, the screenwriter for the X-Men, first two X-Men movies, which I didn't realise. So the voice of Solid Snake is also the screenwriter for the X-Men films.
Why not?
So he was great. The guys from Deadpool, Brianna and Stefan, who Stefan we've interviewed before and he's always good fun. That's Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead to the people that don't know, but they were brilliant. I actually saw that this weekend. Finally, I got to see Deadpool 2, which was great fun. I thoroughly enjoyed that movie.
It is a good one. It's what you sort of expected the sequel to be more. Yes. Sillier, and I like the fact they've kind of developing running jokes with things like all the other X-Men are just hiding from him in the manor.
I love that, yeah.
And him sort of going around in Xavier's wheelchair and breaking the bit off the back of Cerebro, and yeah. I like how many references they got in there, and how many references to just things you wouldn't expect, like the Thanos references and the DC Universe references. You're like, I'm not quite sure how they've got away with this, but it's very funny.
Yeah, I thought that was just wonderful. I actually saw Solo as well this weekend, which...
I haven't seen it.
I actually really enjoyed. I mean, it's...
But you sound surprised. That says a lot about the general public's thinking of it, is that you actually sound surprised you enjoyed it.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, I enjoyed both Deadpool and Solo, probably about the same amount. I think partly because my expectation has been raised to such a point with everybody saying Deadpool's amazing it was great and it was wonderful fun. But, it doesn't have the same impact as the first one because you kind of know what you're getting. So, but it was still really good. And Solo, I'd seen a lot of people kind of being slightly more negative towards that. So my expectations were lower and I thoroughly enjoyed that film. So I sort of enjoyed them both probably equally, with one kind of coming down slightly and one coming up slightly from what I expected. But yeah, Solo, I mean, it's certainly, if you consider the fact that all the behind-the-scenes issues that they had with Solo, with switching directors and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, the reshoots they did, yeah.
Yeah, they made a really solid... It's essentially a big heist movie set in the Star Wars universe. I think the lead guy, whose name escapes me, he plays Solo, is perfectly cast in that role. He does an absolutely brilliant job. It's nice to see Chewie doing a bit more. Really, really fun film and well worth going to see, I think.
It's good to hear something positive being said about the actor, because so many people, before he'd opened his mouth, before he'd done anything, had just said, you've picked the wrong actor for the role. Mm. And I felt so sorry for the guy, because to get a role like that and then just have the entire internet sort of judging you before you've done anything,
yeah,
I thought was so harsh and put such a massive expectation on him. That it is nice to hear someone saying he put in a good performance, because I think so many people just judged it before it happened. Yeah. And similar things with people saying about Domino in Deadpool. They were just looked at one picture and went, no, it's not Domino. And I actually think she was very Domino. I think she was nicer than Domino in the comics to Deadpool.
Yeah.
But she had that attitude and that strength of presence on screen, and she pulled all of that in. She didn't look like Domino, but then a lot of comic book characters get changed beyond recognition. And look at the rest of the people in Deadpool.
Yeah.
That apart from Deadpool himself and Cable, they bet, Negasonic's nothing like she is in the comics. And I've forgotten the name of the girlfriend, Negasonic's girlfriend.
Oh, I can't remember.
I've forgotten her name. Yukio?
Yukio, yeah, something like that.
Apparently, that Yukio is based on the licensing for Yukio, as in the one Wolverine dated.
Right, okay.
Who isn't a mutant.
Right, okay.
Who's an assassin in the past when he goes over to Japan.
Okay.
So she does not look, act, think, or do anything. She's 0% Yukio. Because they had a Yukio character in one of the other Wolverine movies.
Yes.
I think was it the Wolverine? Who also didn't... Well, she was closer to being Yukio from the comics, but unless she'd been called Yukio, I wouldn't know that's who she was.
Yeah.
And this was just so far removed that we were like, but it's got electricity power. There is a mutant with that power. Why have you gone for that name? And they do change them that much. So I think, you know, Domino, it's just kind of like, yeah, they're going to change her. They're changing everyone and adding in their own things and making things up. You can't judge things on kind of how they are, really.
Yeah.
But good fun movies. And maybe I'll give Solo a try then.
Yeah, I think Solo is definitely worth a try. It's a wonderful piece of escapism for a couple of hours of just a fun heist movie, essentially.
Mm.
And it's set in the Star Wars universe. I mean, you know, what's wrong with that?
Is it really like the Ant-Man of the MCU?
It's not quite that. It's not as funny as Ant-Man. It could possibly have done with a little bit more humor, but I think people might have criticized it for that as well. So
yeah,
I think it strikes a reasonable balance between still being Star Wars, but just being, you know, fun and, you know, a decent heist film. So I think it's worth watching, definitely. Anything else from you this week?
I've been watching more of Happy.
Oh yes, I'm about 3 or 4 episodes into that. I need to get a bit further, but I am enjoying
it. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It is utterly brilliant. And it's going to get stranger.
I'm sure. You're
just 2 episodes in, you really have got nowhere near the level of strange that you are going to. I don't want to spoil it for anyone that's not seen it. I mean, if you know comic books, it's Grant Morrison.
Yes. And who is the weirdest comic book writer amongst that sort of batch of stranger comic book writers that you get. And I love Grant Morrison's work, but it does tend to take 2 or 3 reads to actually follow everything he's done. So they're great books.
I love the parodies they're doing with Happy and the way those kind of parodies work so well on the TV screen with the you know, the real lives, mobsters' wives, you know, mobsters of whatever the kind of shows they're imitating.
Yeah.
And it works so well. I love the way they've adapted things, and obviously they have changed things, but it's just being one of those perfect little encapsulations of crazy and vicious. And I can't say anything else without spoiling it for you. Can you please watch some more so I can talk about this?
I will watch the rest of it. Now a lot of things have finished, I will watch the rest of it.
Good, because I need someone to talk to about this, because not many people I know are watching it, and there's not much you can say apart from watch it and then come back and talk to me.
I will watch the rest of it. I've just been trying to get to the end of certain things, because there have been a lot of finales recently, so now those are out of the way. iZombie finished its recent season, which you were saying you completely missed this season.
I've been waiting. I was going every week and going, when are we getting a release date for this? When are we getting a release date for this? And then apparently didn't notice.
Yes.
So I've got that to look forward to now, because I love iZombie.
Yeah. So last season's been really good, which is, you know, the it's got one more season to go after this. They announced, I think, last week or the week before. So we got one more season left, which I think is 5 seasons is the right time to end that show, because there's only so far you can take that story, I think, in the TV format.
Well, otherwise they'd be looking at global, you know, if the story were too big for the show. I think, you know, where they'd expanded it to, or where they were expanding it to, where I saw up to, this sounds like the right kind of length of time to make it really, really good and not overstretch it.
Yeah, Definitely. So that I'm thoroughly enjoyed. I mean, I got into iZombie very late and ended up binge watching my way through quite a lot of it. And so I'm now kind of caught up and doing it weekly. But yes, I've been thoroughly enjoying that show. And I'm not so much sad to see it come to an end because I think it's the right time to do it. But I really enjoy that adaptation. I think it's really good. Flash and Arrow also ended this week. And, you know, they're fun, entertaining watches, those shows. Both ended in a sort of interesting position. I think Flash looks like they're going back to a speedster again next season as being the villain, possibly another version from little headlines I've seen. I've not looked too much into it, but little headlines I've seen, it looks like it's going to be another version of the main one that they've used like twice now.
Professor another Zoom or something.
Zoom or something. But to be fair, there are multiple.
Zoom's important, but yeah. I think the things that Flash goes up against in the comics generally, if you wanted to just like make a random Flash enemy machine, it would be very fast things and things called Captain something. And I think we've got to the point where we need some more Captain somethings.
Yes, I think possibly. I mean, it's fine. It is what it is. It's a fun show that.
I'd like to see some more in the other Earth where.
I'd like to see a bit, bit more of that would be good. But we've talked about this before. I think we were talking about this when Daryl was on. I think you could chop those shows down to 16 episode seasons and you wouldn't really miss much. Yeah, there's a lot of filler in there.
Yeah, the romance storylines drive me crazy, which is why I gave up on Arrow in the end, even though I really liked it, because I just did not want any more will they, won't they dating. I just wanted people to do interesting things.
Yeah, I mean, Arrow at least has been slightly more interesting because it's not had like magical villains. It's had like proper hand-to-hand kind of, ground level stuff this season. Lot less mythical things this season, which I think has worked quite well for it. And we made a decent enough villain. I'll be interested to see what they do with that next season. Lucifer also finished, which hopefully not forever. They seem fairly hopeful that it may get picked up somewhere else. That I'd be gutted if that doesn't get picked up. It seems so ridiculous that nobody else would take it, given that it seems to be topping everybody's chart of shows that should be brought back,
It's become very beloved very quickly, that show. I kind of was a little bit take it or leave it. I enjoyed it, but I don't think it's quite what I wanted from that show based on it, the source material. And I felt that setting things up, where I last watched it up to, looked like it might be sort of setting up for, almost a romance between those main two characters. And I wanted more Lucifer being cool and sexy and evil rather than sort of becoming more human. I can see why a lot of people really love it. It's very charismatic. It's very easy to watch. I like things that are a bit more meaty and dark, which is why things like Happy and Altered Carbon and stuff like that are high on my list. I like all my characters to end terribly and horribly. I don't know why. just seems to be the thing that I'm drawn to. And Lucifer's more friendly and approachable, and it's very easy to get on board with it and enjoy it, because they had the same thing with Constantine. It wasn't necessarily the best show, but there was something just really welcoming about it. And people really wanted more.
Yeah, and I think Constantine is a show that definitely would have worked better on Netflix, where they could have got away with him doing a lot more, I think, and could have made it much darker. I think that was a problem with it being on NBC. And I mean, Lucifer, I know it's a huge departure from the comic books, that show, but...
Well, it is not the comic books at all.
It's
own entity.
it is completely its own entity, but... As you say, it's cast really well. There's some great characters in it. Yeah. We're actually talking, one of the interviews that we've got this week, we've got two interviews. One of them's with Amy Garcia, who plays Ella on the show, who is a much beloved character by fans. So I was very lucky to talk to her this weekend. Bethesda have announced a new Fallout game, which I'm very, very much looking forward to, called Fallout 76. Have you played through any of the Fallout games?
I've not played them myself, but I've sat in many rooms with other people playing them, and they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
If I had more free time in this kind of ironic way. And the more I do videos about movies and games, the less time I have to play games. I didn't have the man hours to put into into Fallout, but it's a lovely world.
It is. I mean, it's this wonderful sort of post-apocalyptic world in an alternate reality where things went kind of nuclear at around the 50s. So you've got this lovely retro kind of 50s nostalgia thing going on, but it's a post-apocalyptic world. So they've found this beautiful little area to play in. It's really, really lovely. The gameplay's really good. The stories are really well thought out. And this seems, we don't know anything about this game other than it's called out Fallout 76. You don't worry, you've not missed a lot of games in between. 76 is the number of the vault it's actually set in.
I assumed it was like the year and they were going to jump it forward from the 50s to the 70s.
That was my thought, but because the actual year it's set in, you're in 20 something anyway. You're actually quite a way in the future. It's just that the sort of nuclear annihilation event happened around the 50s, I think. But the world that the games are actually set in are sort of like 200 years after that or 100 years after that. So, but yeah, Vault 76 is where this is going to be set. We know from a bit of the background of stuff that we know about Vault 76, because there are wikis and things about it that are official kind of things. We know it's a vault which wasn't experimented on by Vault Tec, because the companies that ran these underground bunkers had a habit of experimenting on the people in them.
Of course, why not?
So, which makes for some wonderfully weird vaults when you go and investigate sort of various different vaults, because you can find them abandoned in the game. But Vault 76 was actually a control vault, so they left them to their own devices and operated as you would have expected a vault to in the first place. And it looks like the vault is actually heavily populated from the trailer we've seen, which is a kind of new thing. It looks like a sort of happy, well-running vault. So we don't know whether it's going to just be set in that, whether you start out in that and get sent out, which is what usually happens, but you usually get sent out after something's gone catastrophically wrong. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. We'll know more when that comes out at E3. There's going to be a bit more information, which is, I think, later this month, E3. So that's the US big gaming event. So we'll know a bit more about that then. And this weekend, having done MCM Comic Con last weekend, I did Film and Comic Con in Birmingham this weekend, which is the Showmasters event, which is the first time I've done that. Very different sort of event to the MCM one. Smaller. It's probably about half the size, but it's very much based around the collectors and stuff, because it's mixed in with collector mania. So there's a lot of autograph hunters there. And yeah, whereas the autographs in MCM are sort of cordoned off into this kind of little area, with this, all the autograph guys are lining both the sides of the hall in sort of big, like, long lines and stuff. So there were some great people there as well. I mean, Robert Englund, who is the original Freddy Krueger, Christopher Lambert, who from Highlander, was there. You got one of the guys from iZombie was there. As I said, I spoke to Amy Garcia from Lucifer and Lachlan Monroe from Riverdale. So those guys were there. There was some Walking Dead people, and just a whole interesting selection of stuff. The only problem with those events from our point of view is that there's no organized press room. So we don't have any big video interviews or anything like that from that. So it makes it slightly more difficult in terms of covering it. But if you're a fan and you want to go and talk to these people, it's great, because you can go up, you can get photographs taken with them, you can get photographs signed by them, and they have an authentication table. So if you're an autograph collector, for like a small extra fee, you can actually get an officially authenticated autograph thing to prove that it was done at an event and that person signed it, which is quite cool. So worth going to check out the Showmasters event. It's smaller than the MCM one, and certainly the Birmingham one is. I know they do one in London. Have you ever done the London one?
Yes, I have, yeah. And I will hopefully be going to those, both Film and Comic Con and Super Comic Con this year. I need to check the dates for when they're going to be on, but they're always good fun. Film and Comic Con is quite big in London now. I remember when it was a tiny event, just in one upstairs room, and it's grown to quite a beast. Super Comic Con is usually still quite a little one, which is more about kind of creators and little bits and pieces. So I do like the variety of cons we're getting in in London now. I do need to come up to some of these Birmingham ones at some point, though.
Yeah, yeah. You should come up to some of the Birmingham ones. They are really good fun. There's some great ones up here. And there's MCM Manchester is the next one if you're sort of further north. And they've got one in Scotland as well, I think. So they are sort of all over the country if you want to go and find your local Comic-Con. I would definitely recommend the Showmasters one. I actually had a really nice time. Quite a lot of cosplay as well. So having spent most of my time, actually only just about finished my cosplay edits from MCM, I've now got a whole bunch of them to do for film and Comic Con now. So if you like cosplay photos, though, go out and check the Instagram feed, which is Geektown UK. Go and check that, because there are an absolute ton of cosplay photos on there, which you can go and look at.
Some of those photos, I think you've outdone yourself this year with the quality of the photos you've been taking as well. Some of the backgrounds and things have been lovely.
Yes, I would like to say to people when they're, because they say, oh, these are really good. I'm like, yeah, I'm a rubbish photographer. I am quite good in Photoshop. So,
well, it's a combination of the two. A bad photo would not Photoshop into a good one magically. So
no, I guess. But
give yourself credit on both counts, because some of those photos have been stunning. And I've been seeing some of the comments on Instagram where people have been really, really happy with the photos you've taken from them as well.
Yeah, so, and it does help driving up the Instagram followers, which I'm actually over 500 Instagram followers finally. So slow going, but I am getting there. So yeah, go and check that out if you're a cosplay fan and you want to see some nice photos of that. But we've been chatting for about half an hour, so we should probably move on to some TV and film news.
Well, all right then, if you insist.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
TV and film news this week. We start off with renewals and cancellations and pickups and stuff. There's a few cancellations. Code Black, which was CBS's medical drama, has flatlined after 3 seasons. I mean, I didn't watch any of this. I'm told it was quite a good medical drama, and some people saying it's the best one since ER, you know, fans of the show, but I've never seen it, so I couldn't actually comment. But my gut feeling is there are enough medical dramas around not to be overly concerned that we've lost one, you know. So yeah. So that's gone. Amazon have officially picked up The Expanse, which I'm incredibly happy about. There was a wonderful announcement video where Jeff Bezos, who's the guy that runs Amazon, there was a thing in LA that they were doing for NASA, actually. But they had The Expanse team there. And he went out on stage and said, I don't think they actually knew. And he goes out on stage and goes, yeah, we've been in talks to pick up The Expanse, but up until 10 minutes ago, nothing was signed and nothing was official. It's now signed. It's official. The Expanse will be getting a 4th season. The entire room just erupted in cheers. It's beautiful. Go and check that video out if you haven't seen it. It's absolutely lovely.
And it's such a good series. Like, I'm amazed it was ever in contention that it would continue.
Yeah. The only reason that was the case was because the guys that make the show didn't give the best deal to Sci-Fi, who was airing the show in the US, who were the people funding it, even though, you know, it was a bought-in show for them. But they only made money on Sci-Fi when it went out live. They didn't make any money if it was going out on a catch-up service, or, you know, there was no extra back end to it. And they basically said, you know, we love the show and it was gut-wrenching to pull it, but we just can't afford to do it. So it being on Amazon is a much better deal. What we don't know at this point is what that means for the international audience, because it's been saved by Amazon, but we don't know whether that's just Amazon US that saved it, because internationally the rights were sold to Netflix. So they've
hopefully they can make some kind of deal, though, because it has such a huge following. Or even if they just say they're going to bring it out on DVD or something, you know, Blu-ray in a while, because I need to see what happens.
Well, I mean, two options are either Amazon and Netflix do some sort of deal, which would be unheard of, but either that happens and Netflix keep the international rights and they run those, and Amazon have the US rights. My guess is, though, that the rights will lapse on the Netflix side and the whole thing will move over to Amazon. But as at the moment, I have reached out to Amazon to ask if they can tell us what's going on. They're being very quiet about it. So I suspect there's deals being done at the moment as to exactly what, you know, whether they buy it out off Netflix and buy out their contract. I don't know. But we'll let you know more about exactly what's going to happen with that when it arrives. But it will be here in some shape or form, I suspect, either on Netflix or on Amazon, but we'll have to wait and find out. Legion's been renewed for a third season as well, speaking.
Woo!
Which I'm a little bit behind on Legion. I've got a few episodes of that to catch up with, but I thoroughly love that series. It's wonderfully bonkers. And
it's one of the best shows on TV ever.
Yeah. It is. It's such good fun. It's weird and strange and just beautifully done. So I'm very happy to have that back, and that's going to come back for a third season. Interesting bit of news also on Amazon is Stars, which is the US network, has launched a thing called Stars Play, which is one of these paid additional channels that they do for Amazon Prime. So you pay for your Amazon Prime subscription. They then have extra premium subscriptions you can add on as well. And they do these for a few different networks. Like if you want the Discovery channels but haven't got Sky, you can pay like an extra $5 a month and get all the Discovery channels via your Amazon subscription instead. So there are various ways of doing this. Now, Stars are the people that make shows like Outlander. Outlander itself as a show is still going to be on Amazon Prime. So All the existing deals for Stars shows, if it's a show that's made for Stars or on Stars at the moment, it's staying where it is. What it does mean is any new shows coming forward that come onto Stars will probably go directly onto Stars Play. So just something to bear in mind. I mean, at the moment, they've trying to push a couple of new series of theirs, which are exclusive to the Stars Play network, which is Stars original shows. What doesn't seem to have come across, there's a show called Counterpart, which looks brilliant, has not got a broadcaster over here, but goes out under the Stars original brand, but I think is actually a brought-in show, because I've checked Stars Play and it's not on there, and that's one of the few things I would have actually paid for the service for. So it's not great at the moment, and we'll have to see what plays out moving forward. But there is some content on there that might be worth checking out if you want to go and have a look for it. But just Google Stars, that Stars with a Z, Stars Play on Amazon Prime, and you should come up with it. And ABC have cancelled Roseanne, the highly rated, it was, I think, the top rated show in the US when it came back for its revival. Unfortunately, Roseanne made probably the most expensive tweet in history by making some fairly choice and racist remarks on her Twitter feed, which ended up with ABC cancelling the show, which was previously renewed for a second season. So, that was not a cheap thing to tweet out for her. And
I'm assuming they checked this wasn't a hacked account issue or something like that, because it just sort of came out of nowhere, as far as I know. But I mean, I don't really know, you know, the show particularly well or anything. But
no, I mean, you know, she's very popular with the right side of politics in the US. She's been a supporter of Trump, and her Twitter feed apparently has been somewhat schizophrenic up until this point anyway, and a lot of sort of, she's been treating conspiracy theory stuff and all that kind of thing. And
I think this is part of the sort of TV world I've just completely missed, and it's probably not a bad thing.
Yeah, and it came out as one of these sort of things. She tweeted out something which was grossly inappropriate, and it ended up with her then getting condemned by various other cast members, and ABC hours later went, we're not supporting this, and cancelled the show. There is talk of them possibly bringing back the series now, but without Roseanne. So it would be the Connors, probably. So it would probably be some configuration of the rest of the family, if that is the case. Apparently, they ended this, the series revival with her going in for knee surgery, which gives them quite a good excuse to be able to kill her off under anaesthetic if they need to.
Quite brutal, but it would be kinder on if the rest of the cast weren't involved in whatever this was, because yeah. To be honest, before this whole thing, I had no idea who any of these people were. And you know, if the rest of the cast were not involved in any of this behavior, it seems a bit of a shame to for them to all lose their paychecks over someone else's inability to edit what they're putting online or think about things a bit more. Who knows? I mean, if it was a popular show, hopefully it will be able to become a different popular show without them.
It's not like the show couldn't survive without them. I mean, you've got John Goodman in there, who is, you know, a very highly acclaimed actor. You've got Laurie Metcalf, who's an Emmy nominated. She was Oscar nominated, I think, as well. She may have even won one. So you've got those two playing fairly sizable roles on the show. The show could work without Roseanne in the middle of it, I think.
With a name change.
Just with a name change and you know, following the family.
A few subtle changes.
It might not have quite the same numbers, but it would be a way at least of getting them through the next shooting season and giving those people jobs and giving it a try. Worth the shot, I think. But they've not officially announced that yet. Apparently, there is a version of the show that has been pitched to ABC, but we'll see what happens with that. On to other news. There's been a lot of casting changes this week. We'll come on to some of the others in a minute. But one of the big ones is Andrew Lincoln appears to be leaving The Walking Dead. And given the entire show was really centered around him as a character, certainly in the beginning, I mean, it is more of an ensemble show these days. And we have argued that they've got too many characters in the show. I'm just not entirely sure Andrew Lincoln's Rick is the one that you want to take out particularly.
Well, it's a zombie show and anyone is fair game. I think if you want to go by the rules of, you know, living in such a world, that they could just have his character immortalized in some way, build a big statue to him and go from there, really.
Yeah, I mean, the general consensus has been fairly negative from around about this news. I mean, in fairness, unlike a lot of the other departures from The Walking Dead, this seems to be Andrew Lincoln's decision. This has not officially come from AMC yet. The stories came out online. Various sources at some of the bigger American websites then checked it and confirmed that, yes, they were, as far as they were concerned, it seemed true. We've since seen Instagram posts from one of the showrunners or the screenwriter saying, you know, he's going to miss the guy. So, I mean, it does seem like this is definitely happening. It's going to be very interesting where this goes moving forward, because obviously on top of this, you've got Lauren Cohen, who is only back for 6 episodes this season, and then she definitely leaves. She's got a new show to be moving on to. She agreed to come back for six episodes so they could finish off the storyline for her character, but she's moving on to a new series called Whiskey Cavalier. The reason for that happening was money. They wouldn't pay her. You've got that happening. You've got Denai Granera, who is now starring in the Marvel movie franchise. It's seems her contract is up at the end of season 9, the next season. It seems very likely she won't sign again. The plan appears to be to up Norman Reedus's character, Daryl Dixon, into being the main lead. And they have reportedly offered him like a 20 million quid paycheck to do that. I mean, I like Daryl as a character. I mean, I don't know, you've not really watched The Walking Dead. It's not a show you follow, is it?
Not particularly, no. Yeah. Not if I want to get any sleep in the night after.
No.
I'm quite terrible with these kind of things.
I remember.
I think Bruce Campbell shows are the closest I can get to that usually.
Yeah, so, I mean, Daryl Dixon is a character that doesn't appear in the comic books. So, I mean, this is an issue that they've had where the show diverges from the comic books, and it does in quite a lot of different ways, some more obvious than others. It's difficult, particularly now, though, because you've no longer got Carl, Rick's son, there, and the obvious lineage of the show was Rick to Carl. Unfortunately, they fired Chandler Riggs, Carl, because he was coming up to... Well, it seemingly, the reports are that he was coming up to his 18th birthday and they didn't want to have to bump up his pay. Again, it comes to ABC not wanting to pay more money. So they ended up killing the character off. And that seems like the obvious lineage was if you killed off Rick, then Carl would take over as being the main lead. And that's sort of where it goes in the comic books. Even though both Carl and Rick are alive, that's, you know, Carl in the comic books is being groomed to take over. Now you're no longer going to have either of those characters. You've got Daryl Dixon, who I like as a character, but he's not a leading guy. On the show, he's very, very quiet. So I don't know. It just seems very weird. And it's going to be a very, very difficult thing, I think, for the fans to deal with. It was already losing numbers in terms of broadcaster last season, so yeah, this is not going to help matters, I don't think.
Yeah, I guess it's just a wait and see one.
Returns in the autumn, we'll have to wait and see what happens. We don't know obviously whether they're actually going to kill off Rick. I mean, you've got to assume they probably are. But Andrew Lincoln's been there for 9 seasons. He'd made noises previously about, you know, having some sort of end game himself in his head of what he wanted to do. Seems that is somewhat different to the AMC end game of what they want to do with the show. But that has been a fundamental problem with the series, is that they don't know where they're going. They have sort of some season arc, but they need to be heading towards finding a cure or a major goal. And that has been very fuzzy. And I think that's been a problem because you're not heading towards anything specific.
Well, I think with anything that's based in a zombie world, either you defeat the zombies or all humans die.
Yeah.
There isn't really anything else you can kind of do with that, or you all leave the planet or something. They could turn it into a sci-fi and go off somewhere else. I don't, you know, unless you do something that's quite out there, there really is just people win, people are eaten, or status quo. And that's one of the problems I've always found with zombie genres in general. And The Walking Dead went from being, you know, I was aware of it as a comic book, then it was a TV series, then it was huge, and it just took off in a way I don't think they could have remotely anticipated how big it got. I guess they just have to decide if they want a happy ending or a sad ending. And it's like the guys we were talking to at MCM, King, Ezekiel, and Jerry.
Yeah.
And they were like, they're, you know, someone asked them, did you think it's going to end well or badly? And they're like, well, you've got to assume well, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, you can't play your role thinking you're all going to die horribly. And I think, yeah, they need to decide which of those end games and then presumably wrap it up reasonably quickly, because once everyone knows what direction you're going in,
it's
got quite a predictable route it would have to take to remain logical. Or spaceships and aliens, one or the other.
I think there have been issues with the last couple of seasons, and I know it lost a lot of fans. I don't think this is going to help matters. We'll have to see what happens. But there is an argument to say that the next season possibly should be its last, I think. But we'll wait and see what happens. I suspect the flogging a Walking Dead horse, as far as...
How long have you been waiting to say that?
So we'll see. On to other things. This was a story, actually, that, you know, from, I think, last week, but because we didn't do a full show last week, I wanted to mention it. Brian Fuller has exited yet another TV show. He was supposed to be joining the Anne Rice's Vampire Chronicles series, which is currently being written by Anne's son, Chris. It's now been announced that he will no longer be involved. And this was a show which he'd been wanting to do since he was this relatively kind of junior writer, to the point that when he was a relatively young guy, Brian Fuller had tracked down Anne Rice and saying, I want to adapt your books. And she basically said, go away, kid, get some experience, then we'll talk, which is, you know, what Brian Fuller did, and went away and did, you know, American Gods, Pushing Daisies, Dead Like Me, and Hannibal. Went and got that experience. Came back, you know, when Anne Rice got all the rights to the Vampire Chronicles back, which is the Vampire Lestat books and all that sort of stuff. She got all the rights to those back, started to write this TV series with son Christopher, and Brian jumped back on board, lasted about 2 months, and then disappeared again. We don't know what the circumstances are of his disappearance, but this is about the third or fourth show in a row that he's walked off now. Amazing Stories, which was the reboot of the Steven Spielberg series that Apple are doing, he walked off that. He was kicked off Star Trek Discovery. He walked off American Gods. Yeah, kind of the littlest hobo of exec producers, I think. I mean, I like the idea of a sort of Vampire Lestat TV series.
He's a complicated and interesting character. And much as I love the Interview with a Vampire movie, I think something that could really explore his life and things that happened before and after and look at that character in detail could be a really interesting one. And it would be nice to see, but I'm not sure exactly if it's going to get off the ground now if these things keep happening.
The script has been written. Christopher Rice has finished the script. He tweeted out a photo of it. It's called The Wolf Killer, the pilot is. And it should be noted, although we've been referring to it as The Vampire Chronicles, the title on the script says The Vampire Lestat. So it seems like they're using Lestat as the main three character on the series. And I think that's probably the right thing to do. He's the most interesting character in that book series. So he doesn't have a network yet. It's Paramount and Anonymous Content, who are the people behind 13 Reasons Why, Mr. Robot, the OA. They optioned the rights to the book series back in November, so I'm presuming they're going to act as the studio for it, but it hasn't actually been pitched to any networks yet. So they're still in the early stages of it, but it's a property with a built-in audience. It's one of those things that you would think somebody would go for. It screams Amazon to me, because it's the type of big kind of series that Amazon are kind of looking for, I guess. Amazon or Netflix would seem like the obvious choice for it, because you can also get away with being a lot more violent on those as well. You can on network TV. So we'll see what happens with that project. But yes, no longer being Brian Fuller as showrunner or exec producer on it. And then casting news. There was a whole ton of casting news. Outlander has cast 5 new people for the next season, including the Lord of the Rings star Billy Boyd. Billy Boyd is going to be playing Gerald Forbes, a wealthy lawyer in Cross Creek, who is friends with his prominent client Jocasta Cameron, played by Maria Doyle Kenzie, who is the younger sister of Dougal McKenzie. Billy Boyd was actually at the signing at the weekend, and I didn't get a chance to talk to him, unfortunately, because I wanted to ask him about this. But it's a really fun show that I thoroughly enjoy it. One that I came to quite late, but worth watching. It's some of the love stuff gets a little bit wary on me after a while, some of the love story stuff, but there's enough other good kind of swashbuckly sword fighty stuff going on around it to kind of keep you entertained, I think. Zachary Levi has joined the second season of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is one of the funniest, if not the funniest comedy I saw last year. He's joining as an eclectic Manhattan doctor who suddenly starts orbiting the main character's worlds. I'm happy to see Zach Levi in absolutely anything. I think I miss him on TV since Chuck.
Yeah, I'd really watch a huge amount of Chuck, actually. Look at that. No, I didn't really. No spaceships. That's generally what things come down to with me, isn't it? One track mind. Has it got spaceships? Does everyone die?
still a fun series. He was also in the Thor movies as well, of course. Took over from Just Dallas in the Thor movies. I really like Zach Levi. He seems like a lovely guy, and I think this is great. And as I say, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel was a brilliant, brilliant show. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing more of that. And Strike Back has added Jamie Bamber into the cast for the next season, season 7, which is coming back for. So this is the same revamped cast as it was before, although no Roxanne McKee mentioned in the revamped cast, but Jamie Bamber will be playing the new commanding officer on that show, apparently. I haven't actually got to the end of the season 6 yet. I've still got a few episodes I need to go back and catch up on, so I'm guessing the previous commanding officer didn't make it out of the series alive.
That's a bit of a spoiler for you.
Yes, a little bit of a spoiler for me, But Jamie Bamber of Battlestar Galactica fame. So, good actor, nice guy. We've actually interviewed him at Comic-Con previously, I think. So, seems like a nice guy. I'm sure that will be absolutely fine. And I'm sure people will be complaining that the two guys that were in season 5 and the previous seasons aren't back again, unless they do happen to show up, but I'm sure people will complain about it. And lastly, Matt LeBlanc has announced he's leaving Top Gear next season.
Right.
So no reason other than, him sort of saying, I absolutely adore doing the show, but as you would expect, it takes me away from my family an awful lot. And we're filming in the UK, and then we've got all the stuff that we need to film abroad, and it's taking me away too much, and I've got young kids, and I want to spend time with my family back in LA, and so that's basically why. I think he was doing a really good job, and it was starting to really gel with those three guys, so having to bring somebody new in is a bit of a pain, but it'd be a shame to lose him, I think. There's very mixed opinions on the last few seasons of Top Gear. Some people miss the three old guys, although you can still catch them on the Grand Tour, and they're still basically doing the same show. I'm of the opinion that Top Gear going back to being more about the cars, which is what it kind of should have been, rather than three idiots messing around, is probably a better move. So I actually quite like what they've done with it. And we've still got the Grand Tour if you want to go watch the Grand Tour. So yes, I'd be sorry to see him go. But anyway, that's all the news for this week. Next up, we have a couple of little interviews. As I mentioned, I was down at Film and Comic Con Birmingham from ShareMasters this weekend. I didn't get a chance to talk to an awful lot of people, partly my own fault, because I left it a little bit late, because you're having to jump in between people signing, and I was trying not to get in the way of the fans that desperately wanted signatures, so you had to wait until the queues had died down, and it was sort of quite difficult just grabbing them for like 5 or 10 minutes. So I only managed to get these two people, but I was very happy I did. First one is Lachlan Monroe, who plays Hal Cooper, Betty's father, on Riverdale. We managed to get a 5 or 6 minute chat with him, so they're not very long interviews, they're only little ones, but I wanted to talk to him because he had a very interesting storyline in Riverdale this season. If you haven't watched the season finale of Riverdale this last season, you might want to skip over this interview until after you've watched it, because it does spoil some of the end of it. So here's the interview with Lachlan. Lovely to have you here in Birmingham. How's it been this weekend meeting fans?
Oh, it's awesome. I my first time in the UK, and I found the fan base over here were, you know, very excited to chat about projects, and all very polite and just very friendly, and it's fun for me to, especially with the show Riverdale now, to see all the people that just absolutely love the show. So yeah, it's a lot of fun for me. Yeah,
I was at a different convention at the weekend, probably shouldn't say that, but and the amount of Riverdale cosplayers, a lot of Riverdale cosplayers around.
Yeah, it's interesting now, everyone's a Riverdale vixen or Jughead or someone, aren't they? Yeah,
there's a lot of them around. Speaking of Riverdale, which has been a phenomenally good show, you had a very interesting role this season.
Yeah, it's crazy how it all turned out. You know, but I'm excited about Hal being this character now, and actually to think about that he lived a lie for so long in his life. You know, he fooled Alice, he fooled his whole family, he fooled all of their friends and his friends, and so now, you know, now maybe it's maybe he stays sort of the person that he was brainwashed to be, or maybe he'll be redeemed or find some sort of redemption through therapy and or through chatting with Betty. You know, maybe it'll become a Clarice Starling Hannibal Lecter relationship. I don't know.
I was gonna say that scene was very much set up in a Hannibal Lecter way, I thought.
Yeah, they pretty much ripped that one off, but I thought the scene turned out really good. I mean, Lily who plays Betty is such a great actress, and so any chance I get to do scenes with her, she's just really good. So all the cast are great. So
I know you probably can't say a lot. Do you know if you're back next? You are definitely back next season.
Yeah, no, I'm back for season three, but I have no idea what the story arc will be, because they don't let us know at all. We ended episode 22, and that's where my knowledge has ended at episode 22.
Yeah. Actors are the last thing to be told anything.
Yeah, it seems to be. It seems to be. Yeah, so we'll see. I'm excited to take a different direction with the character. I think it's just made it more interesting.
Well, awesome. Well, I'm look forward to seeing you back on the show, because it's been such a fun ride, that considering it's come from Archie Comics of all things, it's just amazing. And yeah, we've got the Sabrina thing coming as well, which should be really good fun. Maybe you can get some crossover action going. I know they're different networks, but
You never know. It might be hard because of the Netflix and the CW and WB situation, as far as them not being the same network. But you never know. I have no idea if they're going to try and cross them over, but that'd be kind of fun too. Yeah. Maybe I'll go over to Greendale and, you know, wreak some havoc over there.
Yeah, that'd be fun to see. Awesome. Well, thanks for taking a little bit of time to just chat.
Cool. My pleasure. Thank you.
Cheers. So that was the interview with Lachlan Monroe. The other person that we got to talk to was Amy Garcia, who is the lovely science geek plays Ella Lopez in Lucifer. And I actually sat and watched her panel, and her panel was amazing because she's quite a geek in real life herself. I mean, you know, to the point of, you know, goes to Comic Cons as a fan. She told a story on the stage about getting stopped from running up to Tom Ellis when they were doing a panel at Comic Con, and she was stopped by security because she looked like a rabid fan running towards him trying to get a hug, and she's like, no, no, I'm on the panel. So she's absolutely lovely, and she was really sweet to talk to. So we got about 10 minutes with her just talking a little bit about Lucifer and, you know, her character and the fans and, you know, obviously the Save Lucifer campaign. So here's the interview with Amy Garcia. We'll see you afterwards with some highlights for next week. So it's lovely to have you here this weekend at the con. How's it been for you? Because we're getting to the end of the day now, so you're quite tired after signing all day.
It's been exhilarating. I'm just floored at the commitment of our fans and the love and their passion and their energy, and it gives me energy, and I would not have been able to get through the day without them. And it's been great. I love meeting the people who see our stories and hearing what episodes they love and hearing what characters they love and hearing their favorite lines and hearing their favorite moments and telling me, look, when Ella said it's scary to tell the truth to someone and have them look at you like you're crazy, I busted out into tears. And so I wouldn't have known that or felt that if I wasn't here. So it's such a treat.
Have you been surprised at how much your character has touched people since it coming on in season two? Because, you know, quite often joining a show late, it's not necessarily that, you know, those characters that leap into people's imagination, but yours, Ella, seems to have really kind of been a huge part for the fans.
I mean, that's true. It's I think that fervid fans love their initial characters, and then they get very protective of them. So if someone comes in to shift that dynamic, it could get ugly, and they could be not very supportive. So I'm very, very like excited and really humbled that the fans have just completely taken to her, and they've given her a big virtual hug, you know, via social media, and the response to her. And it's really nice because, like, as an actor, for example, she has an episode where she speaks Klingon, and I made a choice to, like, really commit and say it with my fists in the air. And I could have definitely had egg on my face, but then luckily the fans were like, oh my God, we love it. She totally committed. She totally, like, you know, she really. And then I went to a convention in Frankfurt last month, and one of the Klingon Federation, like, heads or something was like, look, you pronounced it with gusto, you said it like a Klingon would say it, so I just want you to know you have the Klingon stamp of approval. You know what I mean? So that was really, really exciting.
Now, as I heard in your panel earlier, you're kind of a bit geeky anyway, so did you know the Klingon beforehand, or did you have to learn it?
I mean, I knew a little Klingon. I knew, like, Tavanlu, you know, because that's what they ended up putting in there. But that's really all I knew. I mean, I love, you know, Star Trek. My dad was, like, you know, a huge Star Trek fan growing up. So I definitely kind of love the concept of diversity. Like, if you think about it, it's not just, like, all different types of people. It's all different types of species, right? So, like, if you look at Star Wars, in their watering hole at the bar, you see people from all different colors. You see, you know, people with red faces. You see robots. You see androids. You see, like, I don't know, aliens. You see, like, it's just, I like the feeling of inclusiveness. And so, yeah, I didn't know any Klingon before except for Tavanlu, and then they ended up writing that in there, so it was very convenient. But I would love to learn more. But I obviously knew how to say it because I grew up kind of watching them. So performance-wise, I knew exactly how a Klingon would say something.
And the obvious thing we have to mention is the Save Lucifer campaign, and you know, how that seems to be going at the moment, and the reaction you've had from fans to Save the Show, which I absolutely adore the series. I think I was gutted when I heard it was. There was a number of shows this season that really caught me, but Lucifer was definitely the number one that I think I was really the most upset about. There's talk of it maybe going to one of the streaming services. We know you don't know anything yet. What would you like to say to people just to help get behind it in the next few weeks?
I first want to say thank you, because we wouldn't have gone this far without them. I think Lucifer was an underdog show from the beginning, and the fact that we're already a season, you know, that we've wrapped a season three and we've aired season three, I think is something to hold our head high, and that's purely fan-based. And the second thing I would say is don't give up. One of my favorite quotes is Margaret Mead, never mind that a few committed citizens can change the world. In fact, it's the only thing that ever has. And I think that this snowball effect of love and passion for the show has really like caught the ears of streaming services and producers and production companies. And I think that we have social media as a platform, and it's really cool to be able to cast your vote directly, you know, through Twitter and hashtag Save Lucifer. And I'm just so in awe of our fervent fan base who really loves all the characters, and we're like so different and diverse. And the fact that a global fan base in Spain, Brazil, New Zealand, Australia, you know, Europe, the fact that they see themselves in these characters, and in a way, we're all underdogs on that show, and we're actually real underdogs as a show. So there's a very meta quality to our show. And I think that there's a very authentic quality to our show. So the third thing I would say to them is that we're fighting on the front lines with them. You know, Tom is out there flying to LA, taking meetings, getting out, you know, getting the story out in the press. Lauren and Leslie Ann just went to New Zealand for Comic-Con. You know, they're interacting one-on-one with fans and hearing what they have to say. And you know, I'm out here and hashtagging Save Lucifer. So I want them to feel like they're not alone. And I want them to feel like they're inspiring us to keep going, because they have single-handedly given us a, you know, a fighting chance. And I feel like, you know, how cool would it be if we got canceled and everyone felt like they were in hell? And then ironically, our angels end up becoming our fans. And what if, you never know, what if our fans end up being the angels that end up saving our show?
That would be awesome. I really, really, really hope it gets saved. So good luck with the rest of the campaign, and I hope to see it back on air soon.
Thank you. Fingers crossed.
Thanks. So that was the interview with Amy Garcia. I hope you really enjoyed that. As I say, she was absolutely great. Save Lucifer. I really want Lucifer back. So I'm hopefully we should know in the next month or so whether that's going to happen or not. We'll see. But keep your eyes open. Now we've got some highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week. We have Get Shorty, which is a series which has been running for a couple of years, actually, in the US. It's based on the 1990 novel by Elmore Leonard. It's been getting fairly decent reviews. They seem to be doing fairly well with this. And they did make a movie, but this is based sort of directly on the novel, not the film. That's coming to Sky Atlantic on the 6th of June at 9 p.m. Chicago PD has finally got an air date for its fifth season. That's on the 7th of June at 9 p.m. Stan vs. Evil, which I have recorded, and people tell me it's brilliant, and I haven't got around to watching it yet. John C. McGinley from Scrubs, he stars as Stan, who is the small-town disgruntled former chief who finds himself battling demons. That's coming to Fox on the 7th of June at 11:30. And Brooke Meyer, which is the Hank Azaria series, that's about him being a Major League Baseball announcer. That's coming at midnight on the 7th of June. Second season of that. Quantico is back for its third and final season. That was one of the ones that got the axe over the last few weeks. That's 7th of June at 9 p.m. for that. Marvel's Cloak and Dagger coming to Amazon Prime on the 8th of June for the first season of that. This is another comic book adaptation. I don't know this comic book particularly. I don't know whether this is one you've picked up.
I know Cloak and Dagger, but I'm not sort of a huge, you know, massive fan of it. my worry with this one is the same things I have with stuff like Krypton, which is they're going for the teenagers falling in love plotline as the primary. And
yes,
when American TV does that, I just, I quite often just find myself sort of, you know, hitting my head against a desk because I just can't quite relate.
Yeah. Yes.
But though saying that, I do, I'm still watching Krypton, so
yeah, I'm looking forward to
it. Can work. This one, it just entirely depends on what direction they go in it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much they're gonna fall into that, but it is a freeform show, I think, and it, you know, so Freeform is very much a tween audience. So it goes out on Amazon Prime over here, 8th of June. I believe they previewed the first episode of this at MCM. I didn't actually manage to get in to see it, but
I heard about it too short notice to go and watch it. But there were a lot of people who were interested in it, and it sounds like it's a small enough license. It isn't one of the kind of the big, I mean, most people that read Marvel know who Cloak and Dagger are, but it's not one of those huge licenses that has too much weight on it, too much expectations on it. And I'm hoping they use that to mean that they can make a really good show out of it, and not that they just make another teen drama out of it, which is what some of the other ones sort of felt a bit like to me with the recent Marvel telly.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see it. I will have to.
It's
look.
Certainly worth giving a go.
Yeah. So Amazon Prime, 8th of June for that one. Sense8, the 2-hour finale movie special thing, that is coming on the 8th of June to Netflix. Kind of sad to see this show go because it was so interesting and different to anything else that was out there. But I'm very happy that Netflix kind of relented and at least gave them the movie to let them round it up in a reasonable way. So I'm happy they gave
people
them
needed closure. It had a very dedicated fan base. I haven't actually made my way through the whole thing because you have to very much be in the right mood and pay attention. And it's a very kind of atmospheric kind of show. You can't have that on in the background. You have to be paying attention to it. And I just never quite got around to giving it that dedication. And then other things would come on like Legion that I just literally can't stop watching, which grabbed me a bit more. But it's one of those ones I'm interested in. The Wachowskis are interesting people. They make interesting things, and I'm not always particularly enthralled by the products they make, but they do have good ideas.
Yeah, 8th of June for that. That's arriving. Poldark, season 4 of that coming 10th of June at 9 p.m. on BBC One, starring Aidan Turner, probably with his shirt off, because that seems to be how Aidan Turner spends his life. And then we've got Kevin Can Wait, season 2 of that coming to E4 at 7:30 on the 11th of June. And Champions, which is a sitcom from Mindy Kaling, who is the lady from the Mindy Project, about an easy living gym owning bachelor who suddenly finds himself with a 15-year-old son. I think that may or may not have got a second season. I think it's still very much in the balance. I don't think they've officially cancelled it or renewed it yet, but that's coming to Netflix on the 12th of June. So I believe that's everything we have for this week, unless you've got anything else you want to put in.
I think that's quite enough. We should let people sort of get on and get a cup of tea or something, I think.
Alright. You can find Bex on
Trista Bytes. Bytes is spelt like computer byte because I'm doubly geeky and thought a pun would be a good idea to put in a name I was going to say often on podcasts. I'm on YouTube as Trista Bytes. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm generally doing geeky stuff, and obviously can be found lurking around the Geektown social media and website as well.
Yes. For us, you can find us on geektown.co.uk throughout the week to see the latest air date info and various other stuff. If you want to get in touch with your questions and comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post, find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/Geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/Geektown, and on Instagram, particularly if you like your cosplay, go to Instagram @GeektownUK. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.